Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Weekend. Yeah, fun. It is the weekend, y'all. All right, very happy for this weekend. You know, what better way to start a weekend than a nice lightning blast to your building? So I'm sitting here trying to do my show, as I normally do here on early Friday mornings on Overnight America. And all of a sudden, we see a little blast. I didn't really hear it, but I felt something. It was like an electronic blast. And then all these lights start flicking in the Camo X studios. We didn't know if we were on air or not, but we are. Our producer Ben's over there. Right before this happened, you're like, "Hey, man, I'm not feeling so good. I might have to, run off to the bathroom here or there. Hope you don't mind. I'm not feeling good."
Which is still true for the record.
Yeah, and now you're running around trying to fix stuff around here. So we have no less than 5 lights blinking right now. In my face.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like a study from a college. We're going to flick lights at you and see if how you perform this show. Lucky for you, I am a professional. But what did the engineer say?
Most likely, the building was struck with lightning, which is what...
You think so?
I presumed. Yeah. It's not the first time this has happened.
This building been struck by lightning? Like on the roof?
Yes.
Really?
3 times, at least in the last year and a half or so.
Oh, my goodness. You could be up on that roof. I mean, how crazy would you be if someone was up there when that happened? Should we go check, make sure there's no one up there?
I'm not going. There's still lightning out there.
Could there be someone laying up on our roof right now? We don't know it.
I told the security guard because
he
was actually in our kitchen getting a cup of coffee when this all went down.
You know what? I didn't make coffee tonight. He's probably drinking like 8-hour-old coffee.
Or tea, one of the two.
Okay. So you told the security guard, good. I feel better about that.
So he probably went up to check, or at least he went and looked on the cameras to check.
Okay, check the camera out is a good idea. Can we check the cameras from in here?
Not for our part of the roof.
Okay. So with this thing, you think there was a lightning strike on our top of the building, and this has happened before?
Yes.
This is pretty, I'll tell you, radio stations that get hit by lightning normally get kicked off the air. They must have some really awesome security in some kind of safeguard set up.
In the old building, that actually happened on like my 3rd week on the job on the overnight.
Yeah.
Lightning struck the building and it took out both of our studios.
Was that what
took us off syndication? Yeah.
When John was on? Yeah.
Took us off syndication. The whole building almost went dark. It was just emergency lights on. It was
the flood lighting.
Yeah. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen before. And then we got over here and I'm like, we didn't have this problem until about a year and a half ago.
What's going on, man?
To be honest, I think it has more to do with all the construction that's been going on downtown.
Yeah, why?
Changing a lot of the layout, changing a lot of the lightning rods that used to be in other parts.
There's lightning rods, huh?
Yeah, so in the old Keener Plaza, on top of the structure, because it was a big metal structure,
yeah,
there was a lightning rod to a grounding wire over there. Over here...
That was taken down?
Yeah, because they took that old structure down. All of Keener Plaza was redone.
Yeah.
Behind you is Soldiers Memorial. They're in the middle of reconstructing it.
Yeah.
The lightning rod that was on top of one of the statues on the one side is gone. And I haven't seen the lightning rod on top of Soldiers Memorial anymore. I don't know if it's still there or not.
That would be a perfect building to recreate Back to the Future. Put a big lightning rod up, right? And we got to get a clock, like the clock tower. Put a lightning rod, and then we can have a big metal cord running from the top all the way to a tree branch, wrap it around, and then have it across the street. And if you have a DeLorean with a hook on the end of it that can fly by at least do 88, because I've looked out this window, cars go 88 out there, so we could probably send a couple people back in time.
I have no thought process that will solve what you just said.
I know, it's flawless thinking. So they took a couple of these rods out, And next thing you know, we're getting hit with lightning.
My correlation is that the construction that's been happening downtown is correlating to this.
Okay. Your theories.
Yes.
Why don't you do some undercover investigations?
Do I look like Chris Negus from Channel 4?
No, you don't.
All right. As long as we're clear on that.
No. Yeah, you don't look like him. So thank you for the update there. And you said some engineers are going to come. Because I'm about...
Yeah, they'll be here in a few minutes.
Yeah. I'm almost getting used to the lights blinking.
It's like Christmas time. It looks like a Christmas tree.
You remember that episode of Seinfeld where Kramer, and right outside his window, there was like some kind of light?
The Kenny Rogers roaster sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like keeping him up and he was driving him nuts.
Yeah.
I feel like if this is prolonged over the course of like a week, I would feel like Kramer. I would be like him. You wouldn't be able to sleep. Well, I'm not sleeping in the studio anyway, but this is a good way to keep me up. This is better than coffee. No, not better.
No, because eventually
this is better than tea.
Yeah.
Not coffee, but tea. There's an IKEA. You used to work at IKEA, right?
I did.
How many of the meatballs did you eat out there?
More than I care to admit to.
All right, since you are an expert, obviously, because you worked at IKEA for like a week or whatever it was.
3 months.
Oh, 3 months. Who's better at putting IKEA furniture together, men or women?
Ooh. Actually, the women.
Why do you say that?
Because they had a little competition for the Olympics, and they had things like building an IKEA bookshelf and getting carts and, you know, other random stuff. And out of the 6 people that competed, 3 women, 3 men, 3 people were able to get it done without missing a piece. 2 women and 1 guy. The other 3, a woman and 2 men, were not able to get it assembled without missing pieces.
Well, who could do it faster?
The women.
Okay, so here's this made headlines. Global human resource manager made headlines by saying that women are better than men at assembling flat pack furniture. So they're talking about IKEA furniture. So obviously the entire scientific community said, show me your research. And then they pushed the glasses up their nose. And they said, you know what? This would make for a fun study. So the Arctic University of Norway, where else but Norway would they spend the money to do this, actually conducted a survey. They only had 40 men and 40 women. All university students were challenged to construct IKEA's Uden kitchen trolley. So it's basically a 3-shelf kitchen trolley. It's wheels on one side, not on the other. You just put it, and I guess you could put stuff in your pantry or whatever you'd use this for. Just, you know, like a... Oh, trolley. What else would you call it? That's exactly what it is.
Like a food cart?
Yeah, food cart. And they had 40 men and 40 women. So they actually conducted the survey. All participants worked individually to assemble under discrete supervision. The main result? Men with instructions took 22.48 minutes and 24.8 minutes without instructions. Obviously, if I was a guy, I'd put it together without instructions. I'd look at something simple like this and say, I can figure it out. Just show me a picture of it. I figure it out. So the women, on average, took 23.65 minutes with instructions. On average, 28 minutes without. Of course, the women without instructions would struggle on this more than the men because that's kind of the man's thing. We live life without instructions. We have a lot more experience that way. So in terms of scores, looks like men in this study, at least from Norway, are able to put furniture together faster than women. And they also don't complain. The taste of the meatballs at IKEA, they don't complain about that either. The research should not be taken as final word, mostly because, what, you're only going to take a small sample size of students. And who knows if they're taking it seriously. Mostly because I've had to take, like, in psych. I was... in a psychology class, you know, they make you take that in college, and they also make you participate in their studies. So for extra credit or for like, as opposed to doing a term paper, you can go be part of a study and you're like, I'll go do that. Don't have to do a paper. I'm in. So I went part of one of these studies. So they hooked me up to a bunch of like cords and they electrocuted me for like 2 hours. No, that didn't happen. I just made that up. No, I sat in a booth and they showed me a video and they're like, how do you feel about this video? And they're like, here's random stuff. Like, here's a guy petting a cat. And then they, like, escalated it. They're like, here's someone urinating. And it went like the total escalation. They're like, here's pictures of the Holocaust. You know, it was like varying degrees. And it's like, well, how do you feel about this photo? And I'm like, what kind of experiment is stupid thing is this? And sat through the thing, and then I left. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't do the term paper. You can just go in and you're done. So, yeah, maybe these college kids didn't actually pay attention to it like they should have. Okay, I didn't get to this, but I do want to talk about some apps that are helping moms, and I want to get to some tech news, because Google may have bought Favorable Research. That's a big no-no. That's coming up on Camo X. Like playing a game right now, so I'm trying to catch the camera with the light blinking. It's very difficult, though. I almost got it. Of course, everything's storm related with you right now. You have to play all bumper music that is either with rain or storms. That's how producers roll here on Camo X. Welcome back to Overnight America. It's 1:20 in St. Louis, and we've been rolling right through this thing. Here's a couple of apps. I know what it's like for moms. When you have a baby, I know exactly what it's like to feel like you don't have the answers because, you know, everyone's going to make you feel like you don't, and you feel like you don't. You don't know if you're doing the right thing. It was the same thing happened with my wife and I. Having our first kid, we had so many questions, and we were so concerned we were doing the wrong thing because we obviously wanted the health of our child to be the number one priority. So, like my wife did, she went to the mom forums, and that book is still very popular, What to Expect When Expecting. And there was forums online, and she could talk to other moms, and it was a huge resource. She joined a mom's group, a mops group where we were, loved it there too. But technology has really changed the way and tried to take away some of that uncertainty a lot of the moms have. And there's four apps that I thought were pretty good, four apps that are helping new moms. And some of these apps do all kinds of different things. For example, apps that help track a baby's weight, sleep schedule, and diaper changes. And people that don't have babies realize, why would you want to track diaper changes? You know, that's gross. Why would you track their sleep schedule? What does it matter when they're sleeping? Just be happy. Well, once you have a kid, you realize this very quickly. You want to make sure they're getting enough sleep, and you want to make sure they're using their diaper, I should say. And I was going to say bathroom, but you want to make sure they're going the right amount of times. You want to make sure they're not missing, because that could be an indication of a problem. So you got to pay attention to those things. You know, pump schedules, if you're breastfeeding, tips on educational things. And I can tell you that if it wasn't for that, we'd be calling our parents like 24/7. Hey, what's this? Is this normal? What's that? That normal? Kind of saved us a lot of embarrassing calls, I guess. But that, I guess the app and everything else could just, they work so well with each other. There's another one that helps you track your sleep schedule. And it helps you fall asleep quicker because moms, you know exactly what that's like when there's the baby. Dads, you know what that's exactly like when the baby's up. You're trying to, you look at each other, whose turn is it? Who's going to go get the baby? It's not an easy thing to do. So there's other apps that help you with buying things because sometimes you run out. And I'll tell you, we got Amazon Prime. It's so easy to say, hey, send us another box of diapers, right? And the box comes right to you. Or we need this or we need that. Technology, man, I tell you, it's really come a long way because I hear the stories of like our parents when they were raising us, like my wife and I. We're not related, but, you know, independently, they were raising each of us. Yeah, we're not related. So things have changed a lot over the years. And technology, at least in this case, is being used for the better. Oh, Ron, what's going on? Our favorite taxi driver.
Yeah, I heard you mention me earlier.
Yeah, you did. I'm glad you were listening earlier.
The guy was name was Buster Poindexter, I think. The guy
Poindexter was. It was. Way to go. I knew you would know that one. I got to find some new trivia questions to ask you. I've been meaning to think those up.
Well, here's one for you. You're talking about IKEA, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what used to be on that spot right there?
The building where it is here in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, no idea. Right off of 64 there.
Okay, now listen carefully. I'll give you some clues here. The home office is in Lynchburg, Tennessee, okay? The business, what shall we say, out of business in 1920 when Prohibition came in, okay? Mm-hmm. Although I think they still made this product. And 1933 when Roosevelt repelled Prohibition and went back in business again.
Okay.
Now then, this product it made is Jack Daniel's whiskey.
How about that? There was a plant there, a whiskey plant?
That was Jack Daniel's whiskey distillery right there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
3900 Duncan Avenue. That's on Duncan Avenue right there.
So what happened? Did they move out, or why did they stop doing it?
They moved out. They went back to Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Okay.
And guess whose favorite whiskey was Jack Daniel's?
Who's that? President Grant?
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, Frank Sinatra. Okay. I thought there was another tie to St. Louis there. I was trying to get something out of it.
St. Louis connection that way, no.
Well, I'm sure he's visited here. That's maybe to the hill to some great Italian restaurants out there.
No.
Well, trivia-wise, all right, that's pretty good trivia. You walk around, drive around all night. What about people you pick up in your cab? Do you try to quiz them, too?
Well, they're a little inebriated. Quiz I get out of them is, where are you going?
Whoa, pull over. You ever get them to yell that at you and you know it's an emergency?
Well, it depends what you call emergency. You stick your head out the window and do the emergency on out that way.
Oh, man. What's the worst thing that's happened in the backseat of that cab?
Oh, God. We don't want to go on that.
Is it really that bad? Are you serious? There's been some really gross things?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, man.
We don't want to put that on the air. I'll tell you what. You got any more movie stars for me?
Yeah. Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll come up with more, but you know that one? Do you know, Ron?
Well, I didn't hear what you said. What?
Oh, Phyllis Diller.
I'm not hearing you.
You can't hear me. Uh-oh.
No, you give me a movie star? I didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah, no. Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
okay.
Fine.
Phyllis Diller.
Well, she's born in Lima, Ohio.
Lima, but yes, you're right.
And she was cremated. She lived to be 90. There used to be a guy in St. Louis here. He passed away. His name was Stan Kahn. He played the organ. He had a big, large collection of vacuum cleaners. And she knew him when she lived here, okay? Mm-hmm. And she's the one that told Johnny Carson about him. And he was a big hit on Johnny Carson's show with all those vacuum cleaners.
Okay, here's another one. Bob Hope.
Born in England. Age 3, moved to Cleveland, Ohio. And he's buried in San Fernando Mission Cemetery in the valley there, San Fernando Valley.
Way to go, man. That's impressive. Very impressive.
What's his real name? Wait a minute. What's his real name?
Let me think. I don't know his real name.
Leslie Towns Hope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I learned something new. Bob Hope's a cool guy. I wish I could have met him. He would be on my list of people I wish I could have met.
Have you ever been to Cleveland, Ohio?
Yeah, I've been there for the Rock Hall of Fame. I've been to a Cavaliers game up there and an Indians game, yeah.
You know what happened in 1904 on Euclid Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio? Something, the first time one of these appeared, and it's everywhere in every city, town in the United States. What's what is that?
1904, you said?
It appeared on Euclid Avenue, yes. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to get it. The first electric traffic signal.
Oh, how about that? You know, where was the first baseball game under the lights? Nighttime baseball game under the lights.
You got me on that one.
See, the only reason I know that is because where I was from, Fort Wayne, Indiana, there was a big GE electric plant there, and they experimented during it. So, Fort Wayne, Indiana, first game under the lights. They like to claim it, though.
I didn't know that.
I gotcha. There you go, Ron. All right, learn something.
I'm another movie star. You got one then?
I'm out of movie stars.
You're out of movie stars?
I'll come up with a better list next time, all right? good hearing from you, Ron. We got to go to break.
Okay, but now you know who Buster Poindexter is anyway.
Well, I know who it is. Hot, hot, hot. I don't think anyone knew that but you listening, by the way.
Well, I used to live in Manhattan in 64. I know that kind of music.
Uh-huh. I would never listen to that.
By the way, I can do New York trivia, too.
You got it all, man. You got to get on Jeopardy.
I'll probably lose trying to get on.
All right. Good hearing from you, Ron. Hey, take care. Have a great weekend. I kind of want to know what stories happened in the back of his cab. He said they were too gross to share. I want to know what happened back there. All right. I know, Ron, you're still listening right now. This is what I want you to do. I want you to think of ways you can bring them up where it's not going to get me in trouble talking about them on air. I want to hear some of the craziest stories you've ever had in a taxi cab. And let's do that next time you call in, all right? A few things I want to get to. Google did something that was very naughty. It looks like they may have bought favorable research to lobby with. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's what everyone does. Google might as well, and Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and then the heads of Google, they might as well all run for office. They do all the things we hate that politicians do. I want to get to that and some other tech news coming up on Overnight America in 5 minutes, KMOX.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun.
Love this song. What a great song.
I said I didn't like the way he got things done, sleeping on the job. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know.
Welcome to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. What an awesome song. Thank you for picking that out. Have you been seeing people sound off online about this giant iceberg that has now cracked off of Antarctica? So people keep posting it, and they're freaking out about it. It's like the size of New Hampshire or something like that. And it cracked, finally. Well, this crack has been going for decades, and they've been monitoring this thing for decades. But people are saying it's because of global warming, this thing's obviously. I mean, guys, grow a brain. It's because of global warming. So scientists had to come up real quick and say, well, it's actually a natural event that's been anticipated for months. Was not caused by global warming or climate change. Oh, now you admit it, huh? But there's something that I heard online, and this kind of makes sense, that is freaking people out. This is what the main concern is for this big iceberg. And not that I'm trying to scare you or anything, but I'm just gonna say it. The thing that's going to be most dangerous about this thing, and Ben, I don't know if you've heard this side of it or not. Have you paid attention to this iceberg that's cracked off? Did you think it was because of climate change? I'm just curious. It's not. It's something they've been tracking forever. But the main concern of this thing is that once it starts melting, think about how long it took for this to actually, like, form. It takes hundreds of thousands of millions of years to form all of these icebergs up in Antarctica, okay? You get one that cuts off and starts floating down and starts melting. What they're most concerned about is what they wonder if there is frozen bacteria and things in there from a long, 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 long time ago that could threaten us with diseases that we've never, ever experienced before. What could come from these things disease-wise? That's what the concern is. Now, I'm more interested in reading up and following up on that than I am trying to debunk this to be climate change, because it's not. And like I said before, you can go look at the research. They've been doing satellite photos of this stuff forever, and they've been monitoring these cracks forever. And it's been anticipated. And there was kind of like a stopgap that was, I was watching videos and people explaining this. There was like a stopgap on this giant iceberg that cut off. And it was slowly, slowly, slowly moving. And eventually it got to the stopgap. And then when it finally broke through, it went real fast. Had nothing to do with climate change. So, but just worry, this is how The Walking Dead starts. It could be the next zombie disease that comes and takes over the world. Ben, you okay?
Speaking of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Earlier today, actually yesterday, they were filming and rehearsing a stunt scene, and a stuntman fell and was seriously injured and then died at the hospital.
From The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah,
while they were filming.
That's tough.
So.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's funny that you mentioned The Walking Dead, because I had saw that and I felt really horrible. I'm not going to share the guy's name yet because the name was released through gossip news, and I don't want to share that until I know for sure the family knows. But yeah.
Because you're the authority of releasing that info. You're the utmost authority.
Out of respect.
Okay.
You know, if something seriously happened to you and your family may have known, but not everyone in your family, I wouldn't want to share your name yet either.
You wouldn't leak it to the media?
Right.
So, like, if I was sitting right here and lightning went through the window, struck me right here, you would go off air and you would refuse to tell anyone I got hit by lightning?
I'd turn the replay on from last hour, and then I would deal with the other half of that.
Which is a fried radio show host. Normally, I come in here all fried because it's the end of the night. You know, I've had a bunch of coffee and I'm like Kramer with the light flashing out the window. Fried in a different way. So you would, what would your first thing you would do? You'd see me on the ground after a lightning strike, just steam coming off of me.
I'd throw on the
replay,
the logger, and let the logger start running.
Wait, you would care? You would set on air first before helping me? You would put the show before me as a person?
I would probably send us to commercial, call 911, set the logger.
Oh, now you're changing the tune real quick.
But I would make sure that we were on air.
So commercials are more important than helping me out to survive.
I didn't say that.
You're playing commercials that...
I'm trying to keep us from being off the air.
We need to hear that Cars for Kids spot one more time. We better do that before we help out our host of the overnight. I see how it is now. I feel so loved from you right now.
And actually, before I even did all that, I'd run to the kitchen and grab the defibrillator.
We have a defibrillator?
We do. We have a defibrillator in the kitchen in a cabinet.
Would that help?
Yes. Because if your heart stopped or is really low, I could use that to get you back up.
So you wouldn't... Have you been trained to use it? You've been trained to use it?
Yeah.
When?
When we first got it here for overnights. I was one of the people trained because I'm here in the overnight. Because, as they put it, before you, I had a lot older hosts working in the building overnight. And I was the young guy, so they didn't expect me to have a heart attack in the middle of the night. But they thought maybe something might happen, so I'd be the one who'd be more likely to attend to the two of them.
The older hosts, they hedged their bets. And they put all the chips on you.
Yes.
All right, so let's recap what happens. I get struck by lightning. I fall to the ground. And I'm smoking because there's just smoke coming off of me at this point because I just got hit by lightning. The first thing you do is better play the commercials because that's important. I'm going to run to the kitchen. I'm going to preset the oven because you got to make sure your dinner is going to get made on time. So you preset the oven real quick. You grab the defibrillator and then you pull the instruction manual because you say, I don't remember how to use this. And you thumb through it real quick. Meanwhile, I'm down here still smoking.
I also know how to do CPR, for the record.
CPR. So you're going to rush through the door, and the first thing you're going to do is try to shock me with the defibrillator without checking me.
I'm going to check you first. That's common sense.
You're going to check for a pulse.
I'm going to check for a pulse.
And then you're going
to check to see if you're breathing.
Okay.
I'll start compressions. And if I can't get it to work within the first 2 minutes, then I will resort to the defibrillator. But it's better to have it at your side than to need it and still have to run away for it.
Okay. And then after that, you start calling our PD to figure out what he wants to do.
No, he's getting the phone call as I'm running to the kitchen.
Oh, you're calling him right at that moment.
Yes.
I see. And then after that.
And then as I'm running back, it's 911.
Oh, then you said, I forgot the cameras. So you want to make sure the cameras can see it.
Because I'm going to forget the cameras are on.
Okay. And at this point, I'm already gone. And you're already thinking about what you're putting in the oven. You got the oven preheated. You're getting the pan all soaped up. You're going to be spraying it, getting all the Pam on there.
No.
Oh, well. It was fun while it lasted.
Giving me a hard time for no reason. A hard time for no reason. What did I do to you?
That's exactly what you would do. I see it right now. I see it right now. It ending, my life flashes before my eyes. I think of my wife and my child, and all you're thinking about is making sure the commercial log plays.
It's not about the commercials. It's about making sure something's on the air.
There it is.
It's
the on-air
hitting
stuff.
A button so that way it can keep us on the air.
All right, this is what we need to do. If this ever happens, I just want to talk about this like this is my last will and testament. So if this ever happens where I'm sitting here in the studio and lightning comes through the window, strikes me, I fall down and I'm smoking on the ground, what I want you to do is broadcast your efforts to try to save my life. Can you do that for me? All right, Ben can do that for me. What a crazy way to end out the week, man. You know, we're wrapping things up. This is my Friday, and all I'm thinking about is, what happens if I get struck by lightning here? What a crazy, crazy, crazy radio show. It's Overnight America on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and always a pleasure to have you on and with you on this rainy, early Friday morning. What a crazy, crazy night. Man, we had lights flashing like crazy. I learned a few things today. What happens when there's a potential lightning strike on the building, number one, And what happens if I get struck by lightning in the building? I found out very quickly that the allegiance of our producer, Ben, is not to help me and my make sure I live. His allegiance is to make sure the commercial spots get played on KMOX. So it's good to know. It's good to know where he stands on this one. So there's an interesting article I found on Wired. Google has been buying favorable research to lobby with. That's kind of how lobbying works, right? So the online giant Google's missions to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. According to new reports, one from the Wall Street Journal and one from a nonprofit, Nonpartisan Campaign for Accountability, Google's Transparency Project, the company doesn't just organize. When Google wishes to add information, they'd maybe help further its policy and regulatory goals. It just pays academics under the table to get it. Oh, boy. How does that feel, Google? You like that story? I wonder if you block this from showing up on your search engine. So, and, you know, I feel like this isn't anything that's, like, new. I don't feel like any group that has data got to it without trying to pad their numbers or look at the most favorable thing. It's like, doesn't everyone do this? So Google is a company with a tremendous amount of power and wealth, says Dan Stevens, executive director for the Campaign for Accountability. They really try to leverage that to get what they want from policymakers. That scares me. When you have a big company like Google that could literally spy on you without even trying, the fact that they are trying to lobby the lawmakers to probably make it more legal for them to spy on you and track you and collect the data from you. Hold on. Where's my tinfoil hat? All right, I got it on. So the fact that Google would use data that they're stacking the deck with, probably very debatable data, and using it to get to lawmakers, the only thing I could possibly come to the conclusion is that the big search engine is finding ways to get around privacy laws. And they do this because it's very profitable for them to sell your data to the highest bidder or to any company so they can market to you or use that in any way to try to, I don't know, who knows? Maybe they can sell the data to the FBI. So the FBI has profiles on every single person that used Google. You know, I get really weary about trusting tech companies so much and not in ways where you give up your own privacies voluntarily. So watch out for Google. All I can say is they're nice. They're friendly. I love their services. But don't trust them farther than you can type them out. I read this story, too. This isn't Mashable. Apparently, 3D TVs may be making a comeback. I thought these things were dead on arrival. I only knew one person to buy a 3D TV. It was because he wanted to get the special edition of Transformers when it came out. No joke. He bought the TV specifically so he can get the 3D version of Transformers. So he loved Transformers so much that was a priority to him. Well, they didn't give up on the technology. One of the big downfalls for the technology when it was out was you had to put on these bulky glasses. You had to put the battery in the glasses, charge them. You couldn't use the 3D technology without the glasses. There was very few selection. No one was buying them, and they eventually died. And how many people went to go test these things out at like a Sears or wherever? They had them on display, a Best Buy's and places like that, and got pink eye for trying on the glasses. You heard those accounts of happening? So gross. When you try on glasses and it's a lot of people going through these stores, man, it's so easy to catch something from someone else. One person has pink eye and next thing you know, you're putting something close to your eye and you got it too. So these things didn't catch on. So scientists didn't give up. Researchers think they can revive the technology because they found a way to use the 3D technology without glasses. Whoa, isn't that something? Researchers coming out of the MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab recently demonstrated what's called Home 3D. That supports 8 or more glass-free viewing angles. So the way they do it is, and it's kind of simple. My kid has one of these books. Like the children's books, they have like the pictures, and if you look at it, there's like a bunch of slits in the photo, but if you like you move the image behind it, it looks like the image is moving. You know what I'm talking about? So like let's say you have a transparent type of page or and it has a bunch of like black lines on it. So it's transparent, but it has a bunch of slots or whatever, you know. And then if you move something behind it, as you see it moving behind these slots, it appears as if the image is moving. But really, you're only picking up a part of the image, and your brain fills out the rest, and it gives it the illusion of movement. So apparently, they're doing basically the same thing. They have a bunch of these slits on the screen, and depending on the different angles you could be sitting on it, it gives you the illusion of 3D. Pretty neat. Now, the technology isn't great. It's not perfect, but it's promising. So apparently, they want to keep up with this, and they think you can have 3D television viewing from your home without using the Google or whatever glasses on it. That is so cool. So cool. Got a couple other stories I figure I can get through here. Oh, here's another story. Another security story. I've been pushing this back for like 3 weeks, it seems like. Okay, maybe not that long. The security giant out of Russia, Kaspersky, yeah, I think that's how you say it, they're going to let the U.S. government look at their source code. So if you're a security company, your source code and everything else that's around it is like the biggest secret you should be keeping. But they're going to allow the U.S. government to look at it. Because of their Russian connections, the U.S. government uses some of their technology, and they're afraid that the Russians may be spying on them. So the company is so scared of losing this contract with the U.S. government. That's my opinion. They're so scared of losing this contract with the U.S. government, they're willing to open up their playbook and show them everything they got. Which you may think, oh, for the U.S. government, that's a good thing. Yeah, well, for this company, it could be the worst thing that ever happened to them. Have you known the U.S. government to be leak-free? All it would take is one person to crack or give the key to the code to anyone out there, and anyone that uses this security on your computer, Kaspersky, a very popular antivirus that's out there too. Anyone that uses it, and it takes one leak, and they have the ability to do anything to your computer, this would scare me as a consumer. And this ultimately scares me as a citizen, because if the U.S. government's getting a peek at this thing and the information gets out, what happens to our own systems that uses it? It becomes extremely higher rate of vulnerability to hackers. So when I read this story, I thought, wow, this could be really bad. So the FBI and Department of Homeland Security scrambling to defend U.S. energy companies and manufacturing plants from hackers. But will something like this actually make it easier for a hacker to get in there? So far, there's no evidence that anything that this Kaspersky company is protecting right now through their software is actually leaked or there's any threat. But they want to make sure there's nothing in there. There's nothing on the back end. And there's no way like a Russian operative could walk in scot-free without us knowing it. Touch and go type of situation there. All right. Wow. Getting close to the 2 o'clock hour for Overnight America. A couple of different ways you can reach me at Ryan Recker on Twitter, ryan.recker@kmox.com. I got a couple of emails in, one from late last night and one early this morning. I haven't had a chance to reply to everyone's emails yet. One was on the Reverend Larry Rice, and he said he's going to come back on this program. So give it a couple of weeks. We're going to have him live in studio, and I'll respond to your guys' emails. I've just been super slammed, very, very busy. I'm going to try to respond to him over the weekend. But feel free to email me with any of your thoughts. I'll tell you, when people message me, you guys really think it out. I mean, you come up with some really intelligent arguments of something I said on here, and you want to challenge me on something. I'm absolutely fine with that. But I'm also very busy right now. But if you have emailed me, I will get back to you. I will. I promise that. All right, guys. Want you to enjoy the rest of the hour. CBS News coming up next. Lucky for me, I didn't get any strikes of lightning through the window. Wow. Trying to get Ben's attention. It's next thing you know, if you hear commercials, it probably means I got struck by lightning. But, you know, you'll hear me when we come back, too. I'm just kidding, of course. At Ryan Recker on Twitter. This is Overnight America. Enjoy your night. KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.